Amen, and good morning, everybody. It's good to see everyone here today. Don't you love the Christmas season? Such a beautiful, beautiful time. I am thankful for Jeffrey's words this morning, reminding us that as we go through all of the crazy things, that each and every one of these things that we get to be a part of is an opportunity to be reminded of how important Jesus is in our lives. I've been all this last weekend to parties, and when I looked at the weekend, I went, oh, but you know what? Every one of them was great. I loved every single activity, every single opportunity I had with the people that God had me to be around. And this next weekend, I'm going to be at all of them again. But I am so, so looking forward to it. And Carlos, thank you for your words about how we can stay empty. We can, can't we? I hope you've discovered that. God blesses us with so many things, and I'm thankful for all the blessings that He's given me. But without Him, they don't mean anything, do they? They really do leave you empty. I think the only thing that I would say to Carlos this morning is he should have brought donuts for all of us, right? Yeah. Man, oh man, I was just kind of craving a donut, you know, in a spiritual kind of way. So, all right. Well, welcome again. It's so good again to be able to preach the word to you. Thank you again for the opportunity. As I've been thinking about this Advent season, it won't be too long till I've been here for 3 years. I can't believe where all of the time has gone. But thank you again for the privilege of being your pastor and to take you through yet another season where we celebrate the birth of Jesus. I'd like to begin with a little bit of a sober story, one that I've shared a couple of times before, but the Lord kind of led me back to this story. I keep the story close by to remind me that I'm not a Christian only in my brain, but I'm a Christian so that the things that God has placed in my life will get from my brain into my heart and the actions of my life. And it's the story of October 2nd, 2006, when a troubled milkman named Charles Roberts walked into an Amish schoolhouse in Pennsylvania. He dismissed all but 10 young girls, and then he brutally shot all 10 before he shot himself. 5 of them died, 5 of them survived. It was a horrible, awful day. It shocked our country. I can still remember watching it on television, as it unfortunately seems like we watch so many things like that happen nowadays. But not only was it terrible for the Amish community, but Roberts also left behind his wife Marie and their 2 young children. The following Saturday at the funeral for Charles Roberts, something truly amazing happened. You'll have to forgive me, this story, just because it's about Jesus. And it's about more than just presents and Santa Clauses. And something truly amazing happened, and that is that Amish families filed in to support Marie and her family. They composed 3/4 of the people at the funeral that day. They stood alongside her as she grieved. They offered forgiveness for what Roberts had done and embraced his family. They showed love to his children, even though they had lost their own children. They then proceeded to find ways to support them financially and emotionally after the funeral. The title of what we're going through this Christmas season is called Christmas from the Heavenly Perspective, from the Gospel of John, reminding us that the beautiful nativity that we see and the story of the shepherds and the wise men and Bethlehem is all a beautiful and a wonderful part of the Christmas story, but it really doesn't mean anything if it was just a really cool day for a bunch of human beings. But what happened on that evening in Bethlehem is that a Savior was born, who is Jesus Christ the Lord. As Pastor Carlos told us this morning, it's a Savior that can free us from sin, that can save us from our sins. It's a Savior that makes all the difference in our lives. And so in the darkest of times, somehow in the hearts and the minds of this community that we call Amish Christians, in the darkest of times, a light from Jesus Christ shone through. And it didn't shine through because somehow they just kind of had this belief and knowledge about who Jesus was. But Jesus was in their hearts, and everything about their lives belonged to him. And so when this horrible day happened, they still belonged to him, and they still acted like him. And they took the light that he had brought, and they shined it brightly in the world and in the lives of a little family that needed it so badly at that time. Let's look at John chapter 1. I'm going to look at the first three verses again, and then we'll add a couple of verses to that this morning. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. If you were here last week, just a quick reminder that this tells us that Jesus is not just a human being. He was fully human, but he is very much God himself. Therefore, that from the very beginning of time, and even before time began, Jesus was there, and he is now here today. He will be with us from this day forward, and when time is no more, there will still be Jesus Christ. And because of that, all things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. And you know what that means? That means he made you and he made me. Are you thankful for that? All right, thank him for that. I'm thankful for life each and every day. There may be times we wish he'd made us a little differently. But he made us, he created us, and he gave us all of the opportunities that we have. Knowing that this God, who is now present in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, was before time began, is during this time that we live and will always be, even when time is no more. In him, in this very one, was life. And the life was the light of man. And you see, that life was in the lives of those people who lost their children that day, brutally taken away from them, brutally injured by a man who did what he did for who knows what reason. But in them was something different. In them was the life of Jesus. And that life became a light to every person that was standing around. Now, here's something you're going to realize if you have that light in you and you would dare to get it from head knowledge down here into heart knowledge. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness never comprehends it. The darkness never understands why the light does what it does and why it pierces the darkness. And yet it is our privilege to share the light of Jesus with the darkness of this world. And there's a lot of it, isn't there? All you have to do is watch any of the news channels. There's darkness in the world, and often it can dominate our thoughts and our feelings, right? Sometimes even our own personal lives can be dominated by the darkness that we see. But in the baby Jesus, there is life. And that life was to become the light of humanity and is today, and it shines brightly in the darkness. The darkness does not understand it, but for those who do, for those who can get it into their life and receive Christ as their Lord and Savior, have him forgive sin and change everything about you, for those who would live with that kind of faith, that kind of hopeful anticipation, the light will bring true and eternal life to every situation that we face. So today, we light the Bethlehem candle. Traditionally, on the second Sunday of Advent, we think about all of the characters of Christmas. We think about the wise men, and we think about the shepherds, and we think about Mary and Joseph, and most of all, of course, the baby Jesus as he was in that cradle. But let's remember again today that the most important thing about Bethlehem is the gift. A quick little video from the Skit Guys, too. Help us with that this morning.
It is said that the door to the stable where the Christ child was born is very low, and only those who kneel can find access. I have taken it for granted. This gift of a child, this creator being created, this light born into darkness, I took this for granted until I looked upon my own child, whose eyes bring mercy to my soul, whose embrace peace to my heart, whose laugh joy to my world. I could not fathom the thought, could not muster the courage, am not capable of the love it would take to give my child up to those who don't know, to offer my child to those who would harm, to sacrifice my child for those who pursue hate. This gift of light, of love, of life, this joy in the world, this peace on earth, this mercy wild, this God, this sinner, forever reconciled, provokes a humble response. To offer my heart, to turn my eyes, to fall to my knees and worship.
I have only one daughter. I'm thank God for the blessing that she is to my life. But give her for someone else. Oh, I would give my life in 5 seconds for her. I'd lay down right now in front of a truck for her. But give her as a sacrifice for everyone, even those who hate, even those who do all of the things that rob the world of everything that is beautiful and important. Well, that's the gift. That's what happened at Bethlehem. And while it's beautiful and wonderful to think about shepherds and wise men and all who came to worship, the most important thing we remember about light in the darkness is that God gave Jesus Christ. And the life of Jesus and what he did and what he gave to you and what he gave to me today is an amazing, magnificent light for every single person in this world. Did you get a chance to watch any of the funeral of George H.W. Bush this last week? I was amazed to see in this world of political correctness and don't offend anybody. They just had a funeral that not only was about George H.W. Bush's life, but was about the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that he served. And you know, you may look at George H.W. Bush's life and may have heard a few things that he said along the way, I guess like all of us have, and you may question what you believe about that. But I was just thankful that as we said goodbye to one of our presidents, that in a very high churchy, Episcopal kind of a way, which is fine with me, the name of Jesus was lifted up in a beautiful and a powerful way. And for one day, the light of Jesus was again the light for humanity through the life of one of our presidents. I found myself with Henry Wadsworth Longfellow this last week in one of the great carols of our church. I heard the bells on Christmas Day, and I have always loved this carol, and I sing it with an understanding of everything that was happening in the life of Henry Wadsworth Longfellow. If you don't know what was happening at the time, Henry Wadsworth Longfellow wrote this song right in the middle of the Civil War. I want you to think with me this morning for just a moment about the Civil War, and I want you to think about what that war meant to our country, and I want you to think about what was happening and what was going on. For me, probably, as I look back, not look back like I was there, but as I look back, and because I love history and study the history of our country, it probably was never a graver time in the history of our country than the Civil War. During this time, certain people who had been brought here, most of them against their will, were basically owned by other people in our country. And people were angry and frustrated on the one side that they should be freed, on the other side that states should have the right to do whatever they want to do, and if they want slavery, they should have the right to do that. All culminating in this horrible thing that we call the Civil War. And after 4 years of fighting neighbor against neighbor, family against family sometimes, brother against brother, and after 600,000 to 700,000 young men and women and children and casualties from this horrible, horrible war, finally the Civil War ended, and yet sent our country into a time of division and all kinds of things that it's only by the grace of God and His hand upon our lives as a nation that we ever survived that. But in the midst of this, Henry Wadsworth Longfellow was at home on Christmas Day in the height of the Civil War, right in the middle of it, with this knowledge that had just come to him by telegram that his son had been wounded in one of the battles. Think back about what that would mean, as not only the beloved country that you care so much about is under siege and in the midst of what we call a civil war, a war with itself, but also your son that you love so very, very much has been wounded. And he did not know if he was dying. He didn't know if he had lost limbs. He didn't know if he was getting better. All he knew was the word had come to him that his son had been hurt. Well, in the midst of that, the church bells began to ring in the town, and the song tells the rest of the story. I heard the bells on Christmas Day, their old familiar carols play, and wild and sweet the words repeat of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Well, I thought how as the day had come that the belfries of all Christendom had rolled along the unbroken song of peace on earth and goodwill to men. But then in despair, I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said. Hate is strong and it mocks the song of peace on earth and goodwill to men. Then pealed the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor doth he sleep. The wrong will fail and the right prevail with peace on earth, goodwill to men. Till ringing, singing on its way, the world revolved from night to day. A voice, a chime, a chant sublime of peace on earth, good will to man. That's light in the darkness. That's the most horrible, horrible time that anyone could ever imagine. It's not bells that changed the heart of Henry Wadsworth Longfellow, but it was what the bells were proclaiming, and that is that there is a Jesus, and he came to this earth as a baby, and he lived, but the reason he lived was so that he could die for you, and he could die for me, he could die for every single person that would ever live, to provide you and me with the opportunity to know eternal life. Then in the midst of the darkness and all the things that we experience, there is the light of Jesus Christ, and it shines in the darkness. And what we need to do is just open our hearts to all that it wants to do for us. Today's words to you is open the eyes of your heart. If you'll open the eyes of your heart, you'll see the light that pierces the darkness. and it will create faith, and it will create newness in your life and a hopeful anticipation that in the midst of the darkness, the light always shines through. It's easy to let darkness dominate our lives. There's plenty of darkness to go around. For every place that is dark, there is the light of Jesus. The light of Jesus' presence is waiting to shine through in your life everywhere that you go. And as it does, your testimony of what God has done for you through Jesus becomes a prophecy of what God is going to do in the future. How many of you would like for your life to be a prophecy of God through Jesus Christ? You know, I've discovered that that's what God has done so many times in my life because, you know, I know who I am. Not that much. I know who I am. I know what I've done. I know what my past is. I don't know what my future is, but I do know this. I do know that there was a day that the light of Jesus came in and forgave my sins and changed my life. And it not only changed just my heart, but it changed the way I acted. And it took the darkness of sin. Do you remember the darkness of sin in your life? Do you remember what it did to you? Do you remember the kind of a person it made you? The things that you did, the people that you hurt, the things that you got bogged down in because of things people did to you? It takes the darkness of sin and it brings to it forgiveness and restoration. Today I don't have to live in all of that. I don't have to live in all of that, but what I get to live in is the forgiveness, the grace, and the restoration of Jesus. And you know what else I get to do? I get to pour that out on everybody else. I get to take what gets done to me sometimes, and I get to take some of the things that I see in the world that sometimes I don't understand, and like those precious people in that Amish community, I can look at sin, and I can bring what Christ has done. And instead of retaliation and all of the things that we would probably think about, I can bring forgiveness and restoration. Darkness of the past, the darkness of anguish, pain, all of these things that we experience in our lives, you know what it gets replaced with? Hope. Hope and comfort, joy, healing, all of the things that we get to experience together as God's people, and then we get to be that light to the rest of the world. And I want to remind you of this today. We don't like to think about it, and hopefully for each and every one of you, it's a long way down the pike. But even in the darkness of death, how many of you know you're not getting out of this world alive? How many of you know you can't take anything with you? Right? All right. But even in the darkness of the valley of the shadow of death, there is the light of the promise of eternal life. And we get to share that light of the promise of eternal life with every single person that we come in contact with. I was challenged, I don't know if you were, to go tell it on the mountain. Go stand on the mountain and tell people that Jesus Christ is Lord. But I do want to tell you this, that you know the best mountain you can stand on is to not just walk up on a hill and start screaming to everybody about how they need to know Jesus. If that's what the Lord asks you to do, then go right ahead. The best way to proclaim it from the mountaintops is when a horrible, horrible man takes the thing that matters to you most, and you go to his family, and you love them, and you care about them. Whew, I don't know about that. I hope that never happens to me. Don't know what I'm going to do in that situation, but I do know that there is light, and it pierces the darkness, and it pierced the darkness of my life. And I know today that there is never a place that I will ever go that the light will not be there for me when I need it. And the light will always be there for me to share with other people as long as I open my heart to Jesus. I want us one more time to just listen to that video and let it penetrate our hearts. And then I'd like for us to just spend some time this morning together as a church family in prayer. Would you stand this morning? And would you close ranks a little bit today? If you don't like to hold hands, that's okay. Don't make the person next to you hold hands, all right, if they don't want to. But let's gather and gather together across the aisles. And I'd like for us again, as I said, to listen to the video one more time, and then I'd like to just, with Carlos and Josh playing in the background, I'd just like to lead us all together this morning in a time of prayer.
For granted. This gift of a child, this creator being created, this light born into darkness, I took this for granted until I looked upon my own child, whose eyes bring mercy to my soul, whose embrace peace to my heart, whose laugh joy to my world. I could not fathom the thought, could not muster the courage, am not capable of the love it would take to give my child up to those who don't know, to offer my child to those who would harm, to sacrifice my child for those who pursue hate. This gift of light, of love, of life, this joy in the world, this peace on earth, this mercy wild, this God, this sinner, forever reconciled, provokes a humble response to offer my heart, to turn my eyes, to fall to my knees and worship.
Let's bow our heads together. I don't know where your faith is today, but I do know this, that faith is the eye by which we look to Jesus. A dim-sighted eye is still an eye. A weeping eye is still an eye. Faith is the hand by which we lay hold of Jesus. A trembling hand, it's still a hand. Faith is the tongue by which we taste how good the Lord is. A feverish tongue is nevertheless a tongue. Faith is the foot by which we come to Jesus. A lame foot, it's still a foot. The one who comes slowly, nevertheless comes. I would just hope this morning as we pray that we are all coming to the manger scene, to the baby Jesus, for him to do what only he can do. And today, if you have the darkness of sin in your life, there is light and there is forgiveness and there is restoration through the gift of the Christ child and the cross and his resurrection. You can receive him right now if you will. By faith, as small as a mustard seed, believe in what he has done. Receive it into your life. Confess your life and your lostness and your sinfulness the best you know how. And his promise is that he is faithful and just and will forgive you your sin and cleanse you, clean you, wash you from from all of the unrighteousness in your life. That's what this gift means. You don't have to have a lot of faith, just a little faith. Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you can be saved. Maybe today the past is in your way. The past is real, and it doesn't always go away. Things that have been done to us, things we have done that are hard to forget. But this baby Jesus who came in a manger, who was God, he came so that you could have hope today and not have to live in the guilt of that, not have to live in the anger of that, not have to live in the frustration of that. If you just have a little bit of faith today, you can give all of that to him, and he can give you a future and a hope. Maybe today there is pain and there is anguish from relationships, from sickness, from frustration, from betrayal. So many things in this world bang up against us like a wave crashing against the shore. But if you have a little bit of faith today, there is comfort, there is joy, and there is healing in this baby Jesus that can come and soothe and change and go inside of our brains, I don't know how it works, right to our cerebral cortex, and can change the way we feel about things if we just even have a little bit of faith. It can go into our bodies and touch us and heal us and change disease into health and wholeness as we just have a little faith to believe. All of us one day have to stand at a time when we must move to eternity. The baby Jesus has taken care of that moment for you and for me whenever that happens. And we can live with our eyes firmly forward about whatever the future may hold in our lives, because we do have the promise of eternal life. Just a little bit of faith can cause you to keep your eyes focused on him and realize your future lies and rests with this Jesus who came. Heavenly Father, thank you for another day. Thank you for the second Sunday of Advent. Thank you for a man who, in the midst of the Civil War, gave us a song that we could sing for centuries to come, that reminds us that light shines in the darkness. Thank you for a group of people who, after 12 years, I'm sure today still miss their children. But I hope and pray today that somehow the light that was shown has built your kingdom and changed the lives of people because they dared to be like you. Thank you for what you've done in every life that is present here today. Thank you for the opportunity now to be light. And I pray that whether we're dropping coins in a Salvation Army bucket, or whether we're going to be serving meals somewhere, or if we're sending gift cards to people in California who don't have a home, or if we're counseling and praying for and volunteering with women who have a pregnancy that they're going to see to the end, or have been abused in their lives, just wherever we find ourselves, in our community, right here in our church, in our families, just help us be your light this Christmas season and on into 2019. Just help us be the light of Jesus. Let's close.